Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for allowing us once more to be here. I'm missing the pastor, he's not here, but that's okay, he got other things to do. Do you know what our principal in college used to tell us when I was in college, Bible college? It was in Queensland, of course. Never visit a church if the pastor is not there. Because some people will tell him, he said that, and you know. You better be if the pastor is there. But I spoke with the pastor and I told him this too. And he said, no, don't worry, you can go. He knows me. And you can be assured that I'm not going to do nothing wrong for the pastor. I respect him. He's a great man of God. And I really like your pastor. He's a good man. And thanks God for that. Well, I'm happy to be back in here. It wasn't really planned to be here that long, but that's what we planned. But God sometimes has different plans. I ask you, always remember Elizabeth in your prayers. She has some health issues, and that God will do His work. He made her so He can fix whatever is wrong with her, and we are asking the Lord too. I still need her. I told her we didn't finish the work. Well, I have to do like my brother said, because my brother in Paraguay also, they detected that he got a big two tumors in his head. And he said to me, I didn't finish my work, so when the millennium comes, I will tell the Lord I have to go back to Paraguay and finish my work because you took me too early. But God healed him. He hasn't got a tumor now. That's incredible, but sometimes it's hard to believe. Anyway, I'll go around and show you a bit what we've been doing for the last 20 months or so, since I was here last time, and then we will go. Is that a bit too much light? You can see. Okay. You all know that I'm actually the Good Shepherd Baptist Church in Queensland. It's our church that sent us. I was a member there for many years, and I still am. And mission secretary is his sister, Annette Burke. She deals with all my finances. See, in South America, you can't send checks to the missionaries. They never get there. Somebody opens and cashes them. So what I do, I leave on my credit card, Westpac credit card. It's so good. You just deal with that, and Annette Burke, sister Annette Burke, pays my bills in here. And that really works good, because they are very bad in there on stealing checks. Even if they don't do nothing, they can cash it sometimes, but you lost. A church from America was sending me checks for 4 months, and I never knew it. So then the pastor rang me, and he said, don't you ever say something to the people that thank you or something. I never knew they were sending checks, 4 checks missing. So that's the way it goes. That's Catholic country. Yeah, that's it. Anyway, we've been in Paraguay, actually, we also planned to go to Paraguay in 2001 for 5 years. And Elizabeth said, that's it. After 5 years, we come home. Well, we stayed 10 years. 10 years and a bit in Paraguay. And we went to Argentina lately. That's already Argentinian culture, as you can see there, and the Argentinian flag. But we still have camping in Paraguay. I still didn't finish complete. I have to move myself from there. I have everything, my fridge, my bed, everything still in Paraguay. So, God willing, if we get everything all right with the health issues, we will go back and move to Argentina the whole lot. Next, please. We spent 3.5 years in Villeta, Asunción. Actually, that's where Brother Ramos, I think he is, in Villeta. But we started there too. It's not far from Asunción City. We planted a church in Villeta, and we actually built a big church building in there too before we left. And my brother took over that church with his people. That he got his own church is about 14 kilometers away and the radio station. So that's why it was easy for me to leave that place. And we went to South Encarnación City, right bordering here, Argentina. You have a bridge that you can cross by car to Argentina. And that's where we spent. Until we left Argentina, we moved from Encarnación City, then we went to Natalia. These people that you can see here all around, it's all radio connection. That's my brother preaching in Asunción, but a lot of radio stations, they repeat his preaching through the internet. It doesn't matter how far it is, actually. I can listen very clearly him in here when I go to the internet. So what they do, a lot of people, and we visited each person that called us. Like this family, the whole family was saved. this person too, they were saved. That's when Brother Carol was there. He spoke on the registration. And that all these other people, as I go, I will show you what exactly happened with them. Okay. In 10 years, God gave me one person rich. And I tell you what, Sashane Pastor is not here. You should preach to rich people. They help you. You know, poor Juan, sir, his name is Juan. He was listening to the radio, and my brother puts very short messages, few times a day. And every time he says something different, but always on the same subject. And it's called, "This is to Receive Christ." And one of those, he was listening. And he was explaining for 5 minutes what means to receive Christ. He said to his wife, "But our pastor never told that to us. I'm riding my motorbike 180 kilometers per hour, and I don't know if I'm safe." He was Lutheran. Lutheran. First cousin to the Catholic Church. So, he said, he ran straight away my brother. He rang. He didn't know how far it is. Like, my brother didn't know who was ringing. He knew that he was a rich man. Maybe he will have to care a bit better. He just referred to me. He referred to me. I was 60 kilometers away from him. He rang me, my brother, and said, "You have to go and see somebody that is really worried. He heard about how to get safe and all that. You better go and see him." So I went. I went to see him. He waited. I rang him first. We spoke by phone. He said, "Can I bring my dad and my mom also?" See, when somebody truly gets saved, they start worrying about other ones. What did the centurion do? You reckon the centurion really needs all that Holy Spirit tongues and all that? He was a believer before that. But the Jews needed that to believe it. So, what happened? I went there, and to me, he was already saved. I can't claim any credit on. He was guided by the Holy Spirit through the listening to the radio station, and he was saved. But his wife did accept Christ that day. The parents, they make a commitment, but they're still very scared of the Lutheran pastors. So, they're still going to the Lutheran church sometimes, but the father, nearly every Sunday, comes to our church now. So, he is there. If I will have him before I start building this church building, I will have saved at least half of the money we spent. Because they were really bad, the people that were, they were stealing, and I didn't know. But when he took over, and we have to build this little office in here, he was in charge. Oh, they hated me. Every time they asked for cement, I used to give them 20 bags. Next day they asked me for cement again. I could just go and buy again. And he said, "Nah, send a motorbike." And he put one back. When you finish, come and get the next one. That's it. He knew it. He's a Paraguayan. So he was really good helper. He Skypes on Sunday morning, and he complained the other day. He said, "Alex, since you left, I have to pay everything. I have to pay the bus. I have to pay that. I have to pay that. Nobody helps. There's no money in the offering since you left. It's only you and me were quick." I said, "Juan, I did that for 8 years. Now you do it. If you want to get out of that, get another rich man. Start with your father." So that will help you. So he knows. He knows. He's a bit complaining. But that's what the Paraguayan believes, that if you're a white skin, you are a gringo, so you have to have money. So you pay everything. We don't have money. We are poor Paraguayans. That's the mentality in South America. So now he's paying. But do pray for him. He's studying a lot. He wants to learn and how to work in there. This part in here that you see, last time when I came, I told you we were building this part. That's inside where we teach Sunday school, or when we have fellowship lunch or something, we do it in there. Next, please. Okay, this is also, this man here, young student, he is a university student. I was walking in town going to visit this lady. She's 70 years old, Argentinian, and her son was saved, and she was really surprised the way he changed. She was a fervent Catholic. But because the son changed so much, she was willing to talk to me. So she came to Paraguay to be with her son, and I make an appointment to come and see her. As I was walking, this man stopped me, and he said, "Are you the one preaching in the radio station all this?" I said, "No, that's my brother." Well, he said, "I want to know more about it, but don't come home because my mother and my father will not let, we are Catholics. I want to know." So I told him, "Look, I'm going right now to visit a lady. You come with me and I will invite you to." We went to that house. I invited him. I asked if he can come. The maid was making a lot of noise, cleaning the house. I stopped her too. I said, sit down and you listen. And we were there talking for 1.5 hours. Three of them received the Lord. The three of them, do pray for them. He did secretly. I told him, you're still young. You know, you should go and tell your parents what happened to you. You should tell them. No more. Don't worry about the consequence, because you have to win them to the Lord. This young couple, they were looking after a big fishing pond. You know, people still fish at night time. So they were in charge of looking after that big lake. And also, he always was very bored. Nothing to do, sitting. And I asked him if he got a Bible. He said, no. He said, a Catholic priest told me that even if I only touch the Bible, I'll be crazy. I said, no, if you touch the Bible and if you read the Bible, you will be safe. You're going to go to heaven. I said, are you willing? You're willing to read the Bible? I'll give you one. He said, yes. So I went straight away to his house with the Bible. I took two Bibles, one for her. They both got saved. She's not baptized because she said my mother will throw me out from the family if I get baptized. But she's safe. He got baptized. He never misses any services. Reads his Bible every day. And brethren, I'm sure that all this happening is because of your prayers and support. It's not that I'm so good or something. The Holy Spirit does the work to all of us together praying and helping in this work. This lady also, she tried the Mormons, she tried the Jehovah's Witnesses. She wasn't very much convinced. She was Catholic all her life. I spoke to her. She accepted Christ. We baptized her. The husband is still not baptized, but he's at least letting her go to church, and even he comes sometimes to church. So do pray for him. I always witness to him. He is not in the church yet. He's not baptized. He sort of professed that he accepted Christ. I have my doubts about him. So anyway, just pray for him. This is the bus we buy in Paraguay. How much do you reckon you will pay for that? Pastor Nathan, my pastor in Queensland, said it's about $100,000. It's only 3 years old, Japanese, from Japan. They dump them in Chile. Once they use 3 years in Japan, they take them to South America, and there is a lot of buses and cars you can buy. All you have to do is change the steering wheel, because we drive on the right side of the road. So, we need a bus. See, all these people coming from far away, we need a bus, and $24,000, America. And I said, how much are you putting? I said to the Paraguayan, because they want me to come to Australia and collect $24,000. I said, no, we have a rich man now. No. So I was expecting they would say, well, we will put $5,000. They put $12,000. And God blessed us already, and I collected the other $12,000 I need. That's really a blessing. It's incredible how God works. I won't mention the church, but I went to a certain church, and the pastor of that church actually works in the mines. And I said to Elizabeth, we better don't talk about money in here. Poor pastor is in the mines. But of course, the bus is there, so I sort of mention a bit. When the service finished, he said to me, how much you still need for the bus? Oh, I said, it's about $8,000. I'll give you. I said, no, I just started. I said, we'll be going to a lot of churches. I was feeling sorry for him. He said, no, we bought a bus. And now people in the church are very lazy. They don't do soul winning. The bus is just standing. We make big profit. I'll give you the money. See how God works? And I was planning not to ask. So that really helped that solution. So do pray for them. Now this man here, this lady, I knew her for many, many years. She got saved to my brother preaching to her. But then she saw this sign, our church sign, in the main road. And she said to her boyfriend, some of the Holowatis are there for sure, because this sign only they write like that. Iglesia Bautista Biblica Missionera. My brother in Paraguay, he doesn't use Baptist anymore. He took that away. Baptists are a scary thing in South America. They're worse than the charismatics. So he put away, but I still keep it because I was told off by two pastors here in Australia. So I put Iglesia Bautista Biblica Missionera. So she said to me, when I saw that sign, I told my boyfriend, we have to go there. I'm sure some of the Holowatis are there. And fair enough, I was there on Sunday morning. And she comes straight away to me, and she was really worried. She said, Pastor, I am worried. I'm sinning. I have sinned. Well, I said, stop. Stop. What sin you have? She said, fornication. Well, I said, stop. Stop fornication. Ask forgiveness from the Lord and stop. She's a safe person. And she said, it's not that easy. I found this young man. We were ready to get married. We have the date set. We have the rings. We have everything, the invitation sent. And my dad said no, because he's Paraguayan. His dad, her dad is German. He said, no, you're not married a Paraguayan. So I just ran away with him. So she's in Paraguay. Well, I said, that's still wrong. What your dad did is wrong, but what you do is also wrong. So I said, look, why don't you go on Wednesday? I know the justice of peace in this town. He will marry you. Just get married. Yeah, but I want you to marry us in church. I said, no, I don't marry an equal yoke. He's not safe. He wasn't safe. So she said, well, I said, no, you go and marry this Wednesday. So I sort of pushed them. I did few weddings already like that. I just send them to the justice of peace to get married legally, because we have the civil register. And that's it. But then she insisted, so I said, will he allow me to go and talk to him? He's a solicitor. And she said, yeah, he will talk to you. So I went to see him. And he was really easy. Like, it was really, it was, I said, no, he's doing that. He wants me to marry him. He was accepting everything. And I said, Nelson, I said, are you accepting everything what I'm telling you because you want me to marry you, because your wife really wants you to marry you? He said, no. I was an altar boy, listen carefully, parents. 10 years old boy he was. I was an altar boy in a Catholic church, helping the priest. The parents are really, really Catholics. And somebody gave me a New Testament. And I started reading. 10 years old boy. Nothing wrong, parents, to switch the television off and send your kids to read the Bible. And he said, I was reading the Bible, and I knew that what the priest was doing and what my mom was believing is wrong, but I didn't dare to say that. They'll kill me. But I asked in my ignorance, God, when I grow big and I want to get married, you have to give me a wife from those people that they preach to the radio station. That is my brother. And it all was fulfilled 22 years after. What? So when he told me that, I knew that he was for real. So I said to him, well, I said, Nelson, you accepted Christ now. We pray. And then I said, you know that there is 2 more commandments, not sacraments. You have to clarify that, not sacraments. Because baptism is a sacrament in the Catholic Church, but not for us. There's 2 more commandments. You have to get baptized, because always when you mention that to a Catholic that just received Christ, that's where the problem starts. I'm already baptized. So they said that. So I tell them, no, you're never baptized. You were sprinkled. That's not baptism. You have to explain what means baptism and all that. And I said to him, you have to get baptized, and then there is also, you have to partake the Lord's Supper, join the church and all that. So he said to me, no problem. One of the easiest. So I have a rich man in church now and a solicitor. Not bad. Good saving. So he got saved, and he's in charge of bringing people, because they live far from the church. So his wife used to go and collect people. During the week, she will call me. I have already 6-7 people in the house waiting for you to come and teach the Bible. I don't even have to go and look for them. Really active. So do pray for them. They just have a little baby she has, and they are a bit slowed down right now. But do pray for them. Okay, this is our deacon. He actually gave us the land for the church building. And a brethren assembly pastor calls me. He said, Alex, I don't want to make a gossip, but that's what he was doing anyway. He said, I saw Paul serving the Lord's Supper in your church. Do you know that he's not even married? It was his daughter, 16 years old daughter. I said, Paul is not married. No. Off I went to see Paul. I said, Paul, are you married or not? He said, no. What for? We don't marry in this country. I said, sorry, the Bible said that the condition for to be a deacon, you have to be a husband of one wife. You could be a husband right now to her, but tomorrow you see a better looking one, younger, you go because you're not married. No compromise. You never have nothing to do. I said, no, you have to get married. Let's go to the justice office. I haven't got money. I'll pay you. So I took him on Wednesday and I married him. 16 years he was single, living with his wife together. But see, that the majority in Paraguay live like that. They don't believe in marriage, but you have to do it. Ah, and by the way, here is the wedding of the solicitor. He got 8 brothers, and by the way, the day I baptized him, he went home and told his mom. She got a broom and she showed me his back after.
She really walloped him.
Grown up married man. I always, when I read the New Testament, that Jesus Christ used to cast demons out, majority of the time was from women. And I said to myself many times, why don't I ever see a woman with demons in my life? But then I saw his mom and his grandmother. Oh, she said she's going to pull spells on me. And wherever, because she already lost two sons. This here, in the corner, he is a charismatic pastor. The charismatic church, I don't know how to say it. It's nothing to do with that, but he's a born again believer. Then his brother got saved. And she warned me. She said, I have only one daughter. Don't you start witnessing to them now. Can you move with it? And here they are. The following Sunday, the daughter got saved, her husband, and two children. 3 weeks after, the solicitor was saved. And brethren, pray, because I'm sure that the whole family will get saved one day. They just have to come out of that nonsense carefully. Because, and when she was getting married, she said to me, Alex, I don't want you too much ceremony for us. I want you to preach. There's going to be about 70 Catholic people. They never heard the gospel. And her parents were there too. Oh, did I preach? I actually made them to sit down just in case they collapsed. So they sat and I preached for them for a long time. And here they're getting baptized. A husband, wife, a daughter, and a son. The other one belongs to another family. They're getting baptized in here. So that's a really praising point. Then Juan, the rich man, he wants to see how I do soul winning, especially in rural areas. He said, can I come with you? I said, she said, you're welcome to come. So we went to see this man. He also was a radio listener. But he already was saved, if you can call it safe, in a charismatic church. And my brother always gives a lot to the charismatics in the radio station. And he was listening to that. And he called me and he said, Pastor, I have one problem. Since I was saved in that charismatic church and got baptized, they never let me have the Lord's Supper because I can't speak tongues. Well, I said, you do speak. You speak Guarani and Spanish. That's two. More than a lot of Paraguayans. He said, no, but he was serious. He was crying. He was suffering. And then I sat and I explained to him all about that nonsense tongues and all that, all about. I just started like a new believer. And on the end he asked me, can you rebaptize me? I usually don't rebaptize Assembly of God people because they are not Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormon. But because he asked me, I said, yes, I will. And now he's going to our church. Very, very fervent Christian. And he is there already. That he's there. He is 783. He doesn't want to know nothing about the Bible. His wife, he married a 37 years old girl. So she's much younger than the stepson. God knows what will happen in thereafter. But anyway, you pray for the old man because he is lost. And he doesn't want to accept. Then I went to a farm. This lady got saved and her in-laws, here the man and the wife, they are Ukrainian, so they are Catholics, Orthodox, exactly what my dad used to be, and I know all about it. They are much more idolaters than the typical Catholics, the Orthodox. They are really idolaters, and they really believe in tradition. When I started speaking, first he told me that he's supposed to be dead 8 months ago because he got a stroke, and you can still see all his face twisted, but his mind was very clear. And he said, and see, I'm still here. I said, you know why I'm still here? Because God told me today to come here and witness to you. After that, it's up to you. And she said, no way. We are not going to change religions. We don't change religion. You will never. I said, my dad and mom did. They were exactly like you. Completely lost in that nonsense of the Catholic Orthodox. I said, they changed. And she said, even if I have to go to hell, I'm not changing religion. She said, he listened, and when she went to the kitchen to get some water or something, he said to me, everything what you say, I like and I accept, and I need a Bible, but don't tell my wife. She will throw me out, come on. Next time I come, and he said, I already read 6 chapters from the Bible, and I'm sure the man is saved. Pray for him, he's a very sick man. Here's a group of people that this blonde lady from Argentina, she gathered for me to teach them. Most of them were saved, but they're still not baptized. Not everybody is easy to get baptized after they get saved.
because of the Catholicism, but you eventually God will work on them. They did accept the Christ. We have Bible studies in their place. This is Obligado Service Home Francisco House. We baptize your people. It's also a rural area far away from any town, from any church. So we used to do service in his house. Once a month we do the Lord's Supper. There are some children that Elizabeth takes care of them, and we go and witness to them. This is four grands. There used to be five. And this lady, she was really worried when she saw only four. She said, one died and I never witnessed to them. So she asked me one day if I'll go and preach to those drunks. But she said, you have to be 6 a.m. By 8 a.m. they are drunk. And that's true. I went Saturday morning, 6 a.m. to their house, and I started witnessing to them. And this blonde man here, he's actually Argentinian. He said to me, look, I believe everything what you say. Before I go to sleep, I always light a candle. One to Jesus, one to Virgin Mary. I said, you know what? Jesus doesn't need your candle because he is the light of the world. And Mary doesn't see your candle either. She is with the Lord, her soul is with the Lord, and she is buried. He could not believe that. No, she went to heaven in her body. Well, I said, any Catholics before 1950 didn't know that. So how you work about that? But 1950, it was when they put that rule, that dogma, that Mary went with her body to heaven. How it happened to the Catholics before? They keep adding, you know, something new. So I explained to them, and actually I give them the Bible. They make profession of faith. They don't want to come to church because they stink. They never have a Bible. And every time I go to houses like that, I have to pray the Lord. If they give me water or something, Lord, protect me. Because if you refuse, that's not good either. You have to accept even to see them. You have to look well. And do pray for them. All they do is drinking. They don't work. And that's all because they were womanizing and they put them out. So they're living like that. So do pray for them. This is Francisco Chavez Colony. Also a rural area. See these houses here? Poor people. We have to walk here about a kilometer and a half, 2 kilometers down. You can't go not even in a push bike, nothing. You just have to walk. Leave your car somewhere in the main road and walk down. That's two good things when you have places like that. No Jehovah's Witnesses, no Catholics is there. And no Mormons. They don't go there. So we go there and we witness. 12 people were saved here. I could not get them to baptize them in our church because it was about 300 kilometers away. And there was a missionary in Encarnacion City, not far away, and I spoke to him. Because this lady took me there. She got saved, I baptized her, and she took me to those places. And I said to this missionary, can you take care of those people? Baptize them and teach them. And he said, will you allow me baptize people that you spoke to them? Well, I said, listen, there's many more sinners. I'm not going to be jealous. I'll go and get other ones. Much closer for him. It will cost me, in dollars, it will cost me around $200 to bring them by bus to baptize them. And they will be only once with us. So, actually, he took to his church and do pray for this group. They very, very, kids, you have to see the children, how they were listening. They never heard the gospel before. Never. Next, please. One service, morning service, we finish in Natalia. And a group of our church people, they want to see how I distribute texts. So I took them with me. We distributed over 3,000 Gospel of John and the Men in Black in a matter of 45 minutes in this place. Oh, see, he's smoking, but he's reading. Policemen, they're all reading. Everybody was reading straight away as he gave them the start reading. The Men in Black. How many of you read that fact in the Men in Black? Never. Especially for Catholics. But you do upset them. Yeah, I got into trouble. I'll show you a bit later. Okay, next please. Actually, the Men in Black, you have the whole chapter 17 and 18 of Revelation. That tells you what he's talking about. It's all there in that fact. Now that's when Brother Carol comes to visit us. Kevin Carol. See, in Paraguay, you don't have to worry about looking for schools. Brother Kevin came and said, well, do you want to go to schools? Yeah. Said, okay. Do you have some? No, we have one. He said, go to school. I went to school. I met the principal. She's standing there. And I said, I have a man here from Australia. He works with children. And very good with children. And all he does is teaches from the Bible. You have to tell them the truth. Don't lie because that's bad. And she said, when can he come? I said, he's there sitting in the car right now. So she took all the children out, and off Kevin went for about 2 hours showing and doing things. And a lot of people make profession of faith. He did a good job there. We have him for a few weeks. And this lady, she is a school teacher. And she told me that her mom, when she was alive, and the Catholic priest told her, never, never look at the Bible. I said, well, do you have one? She said, no. I said, do you want one? I'll give you one if you promise me to read. She didn't believe me. She said, actually, you have a Bible. I said, yes. I have mine here, but I can bring you. Next morning, as she was driving to school, I handed her a Bible. So God will work on her heart, the best thing. And don't look how they take tracks in me. They just all come, they're choking me there, trying to get one because they reckon I'll run out. Just like in here, isn't it, when you go to give tracks? They all come and grab you. Yeah, same. Well, they do that in Paraguay. Really good. Next thing. This group of people were baptized when I was already in Argentina. My brother baptized them. That's still in Natal, you know, the last church we planted. All of them are because of the radio station. You will not believe what the radio station, how much it does. Rural areas, they don't have television. They all listening to the radio station. And this rich man that he got saved, his radio station is so high, so he put one in his house. The antenna is so high that all the other stations, they can listen to them. It's always Radio America. Radio America. Whatever you tune, it's one radio. So they have to listen. So they got saved there. Those people are, and he came and he baptized them. They really want him to come because they want to see his face. 600 kilometers away he preaches, but this Juan Celen, he retransmit in there in Ottavio. And that's the church inside. Next, please. Okay. This is when we went to Argentina. I have in Salta. Salta is right here, northwest of Argentina, right on the Andes, a very high place. And I have a nephew there. He works, he supplies machinery to the Andes copper mines. It's a lot of mines. Actually, here, where I'm standing with my wife, that's 5,000 meters over the sea levels. I always get sick. I'm running out of breath, but she was all right. No trouble. Really hard, you have to get used to that altitude. Well, that's one thing good. There is about 4,000 houses, miners in there. You will never see a Catholic priest going there. Not even Jehovah's Witnesses there, you see. We went there with tracks with Elizabeth, give some on the street, and we're working in South Argentina. There were 9 people before we left. I only spent 62 days in Argentina. 9 people ready to be baptized. We could not baptize them because it was so cold. Always 3 below zero every Sunday. We could not baptize. But my nephew is looking after them right now. Next, please. And here, this is the... We used to do preaching in Salta City, in the capital. Now, somehow we didn't notice that the Catholic Church was there. And we have 5,000 tracts, the Men in Black and Gospel of John. You can't go in the bus. So my niece said to us, we'll drop you there with that, and Elizabeth will look after, and I'll be giving them away. Then this man comes to see me. He said, you can't do that. What are you doing? You know, the Men in Black, it's all against the Catholic priest. You can't do that. I said, well, doing what? Giving this text in front of our church. I said, I'm in the plaza. There is a street still. I'm in the plaza, not in front of the church. I said, plus, the Argentinian Constitution says that we have freedom of religion. But you can't do that. Will you like me to go and do the same thing you're doing here in front of your church? I said, not only that, if you do come, I will let you in and you can give text to my people. No problem. I said, you want me to move? I will move under one condition. That you go to your priest and ask for an appointment. I want to go see him. He came a bit later. No deal. Priest doesn't want to see me. They must have read the fact already. So the priest didn't want to see me, but we nearly finished. I said, don't worry, we'll be moving very soon. We finish it. We finish giving the tracts and go, look, people coming from the office out to smoke and they're reading the tract. A lot of them reading straight away. This lady, she was coming with us from Argentina, from Paraguay to Argentina, and she lives in Jujuy State, which is just bordering Bolivia. I witnessed to her in the bus, and then she said to me, if I will be able to come and visit her. So I went one day, 100 kilometers. My nephew was going to do some business in that area. He said, I'll drop you there. You're witness to heaven, and I'll take you back home. So we went with Elizabeth. And God even took care of him. That's her son. He got a broken arm, so he could not do his job. He was a physical education in the college. He was home. And I started witnessing to them. He said to me, I'm a good man. And I was always a good Catholic. I never missed churches on Sunday. I confess once a month, always. But our priest never told us what to tell us. I said, I didn't tell you anything the Bible says. And he said to me, can I have a Bible? And I took Bibles with me because he already told me to come. So he got a Bible, she got it, both got saved. And she said to me, when you come back from Australia, I want you to come back because I still have more daughters and sons. And we can start doing service in our home. Imagine that. So people that they never heard of the gospel, and they getting saved like that. This is, I was doing preaching in the where I was living, in renting a house in Salta. I was going house to house. This was the first one I met. He was quite good man. We talked one day, then I come next day. And on the third day, he told me the power he got. He can see visions, he can heal. And well, I start showing him from the Bible that in the Old Testament, they used to kill people like that. And he got upset and scared. He said, thank you very much, I don't want you anymore with me. But I said, listen, that's in the Bible. Now, so I still tried once more, but he said, no, he didn't let me come. Here is a man, you can't see because it's a bit hard. He's 87, his wife is 93, lying there. Now, when I went in the front gate to see if I can speak, I didn't know who was in the house. And this man come out. You know how you introduce yourself? Don't say nothing, just say, I'm not a Jehovah Witness. And they smile straight away. Because they're pestering so much in there. So I said to this old man, I said, I'm not a Jehovah Witness. Can I see you? He came out here, what do you want? I said, well, we have a wife. Oh, yeah, she's lying down very sick. And I said, but she's still loose. Yeah, she can. Can I go and pray for her? I told him. So he went and asked his wife, and they allow us in. I witnessed to them. Can you imagine? He's 87, she's 93, I don't know if she's still alive. All their life, Catholics. They never heard the gospel. He never saw a Bible. He can't read now because he got cataracts. They both accepted Christ. We used to go with Elizabeth every week, read the Bible, explain to them, give them something to eat. When the daughter find out, she threatened him to throw him out from the house. Because the daughter's granddaughter actually teaches catechism in the Catholic Church. And the daughter is very Catholic. And she said to me, why did you make my dad to change religion? I said, I didn't change his religion. He got saved. Nothing to do with religion. I said to her, if you ask me which is the best religion, you know my answer. It's not mine. I don't believe in religions. And she was, but still she was very upset, but they threatened him, and I said, don't worry, if they throw you out, we will take care of you. But he's still there, don't worry about him. This is a taxi man. Oh, taxi. This is a good story. I proposed myself that because I didn't have car in Argentina. I sold my car in Paraguay, I didn't buy in Argentina. So I was relying on taxis. And I just said, Lord, let me preach to each taxi I'm using in this town. And I did. But this was not fun. He said to me, as I was preaching to him, he said, can I stop so you can talk and I can listen really, and you don't have to pay me? I said, no, I should pay you. You can stop. So I witnessed to him. He accepted Christ. And then I said to him, can I somehow meet your wife? I want your wife to be saved too. And well, how are we going to do it? So he put my telephone number in his telephone number, just the phone. Didn't put my name. Now, in Argentina and Paraguay, a mobile phone is a dangerous instrument for men. Because they always have some extra and get messages and their wife checks. And what happened? Next day he went to work and forgot his phone at home. So I get a message. Who are you? I said to Elizabeth, hey, somebody's asking me who I am. So I deleted. Half an hour later, oh, you don't want to say who are you? She thought I was a girlfriend of his taxi or that. So then, the following day, I rang to that number because I need a taxi. And she answered. She kept the phone, she didn't give it back to the husband until she knows who was the owner of the phone. I said, I'm a missionary.
that I work here and your husband used to take me to the supermarket. I need, oh, he told me that, but I never believed, and she was upset. Then on Friday I invited them. She apologized to me. They both got saved. They want to get baptized now. They're really into that. I give them Bible. Do pray for these people. Pray. Next, please. Then we went, as we were coming to go to Australia, we went down to Mendoza, another state, south of Salta. I have a niece in there. She's sitting here. Last time I saw her, she was 6 years old. Now she got a son, 7 years old. So I went there, met her husband, and they are in charge of a big camping ground. Not a Christian one. They're just looking after the ground, and people come and rent. On Saturday, as I was there, I could see people here singing Christian choirs and a lady preaching. So I went to spy. I went to spy straight away. Young people. And a lady was preaching. So when she finished, I asked them who they were. And she said, we are from the Brethren Assembly Church. And all these kids are in drugs or thrown out from home. So we collect them and we teach them. Hey, young people, why the men wasn't teaching there? Only women. They are much. Sometimes I feel really sorry that Paul put that in the Bible. Because the women are much better than men many times on working. And she was preaching to them. Then she asked me, can you preach to them in the afternoon? Oh, yes, I said, yeah, no problem. They have a big, nice group, and these four got saved. This young man here, see this one? I want you to keep him in mind. I forgot his name. He was sitting, how was that? Timothy. He was sitting here in this chair 2 hours reading the Bible. Then he came and asked me questions. And he said to me, sir, I want to tell you something. I am not going to sin ever again. Well, I said, you just sinned. He said, why? Because you said a lie. You will sin. You only become a saved sinner. But you're still going to sin because you're in the flesh. That's good. That's good that you want to stop sin. That's good. So, do pray. I'm sure I'm going to meet them again. I'll be looking for them. I really want to see. Even the lady who was preaching to them, she said that her elder will take care of them and all that. She will give them. I give to each one of them a Bible with a dedication. So that's really good. Next, please. Then we went to City Bell in Buenos Aires as we were coming closer to get to Australia. And I still have to stay 2 days more in Buenos Aires, and I didn't want to pay hotels. It's too much money I didn't have. So I invited myself to an orphanage. I knew the director. I said, can I come there and visit you? I want to stay tonight. Oh, yes, welcome. But they make me to preach on Sunday nights. They have a church building. And these people come from the street, and they got saved. They are not from the orphanage. They just come to listen to the preaching. They got saved. See, you have a plan to come and rest to save money, but God has other plans. And God uses. So that was really great. And then we went to Peru to see Paul Enger. That's Paul Enger there. You know him? Paul Enger? Well, my son has a lot to do with him. He supports him and all that, and he said that. Can I meet you in Buenos Aires and then you come with me to Peru? Because my son doesn't speak Spanish. Never teach him. So, we went to see these Indians first, and he said to me, don't talk to no one, don't give tracks until you see the chief, because they get very offended. So we did that, and then we went out walking with him. But this is the place where Paul lives. And he told me, we arrived there on a Thursday night. And he said to me, well, you're going to be a bit disappointed on Sunday because we only have 4 or 5 people coming to the service. I said, do you have tracks? He said, yes. Well, I said, give me the tracks. So I went house to house in his locality giving tracks to people where he lives. A place called San Ramon. Next, please. And look how many we have on Sunday. Look at that. A lot. And these people got saved that Sunday. This has nothing to do with this. He got just a slab concrete with a roof, hay roof, and that's what he does there. Do pray for him. He's not a lazy boy, but he struggles with the language. He can't speak Spanish. He told me, brother, I won't be able to preach on my own for at least 5 years. That's what we lack in South American preachers. I'm not trying to brag, and I want to show off, but I could have planted at least 30 churches in the 10 years we were there. You know why I didn't do it? There is no one to take over. You can come here and give a good report. I planted churches. Where are they? Who's looking after them?
In Paraguay it was easy because my brother sends workers from his church and they look after, but not in Argentina. So we need workers that speak Spanish and are good in the... Now what happened here? That was Saturday afternoon, and Paul invited us to go and see a waterfall in the Andes. Walking. And you have this resting place because you're always climbing. Resting place. And there was a group of tourists from Spain, from all over Peru. They were sitting there. And as we come, we always said hello. You know, I always have to have some chat with them. They were all friendly, and I popped the question. I presume you're all Catholic. Oh, yes. They thought that I'm Catholic. Yes, yes, we're Catholics. Well, I said, can I ask you another question? And they were listening. And one man behind me, he got a camera, and he said, can I tape everything what you're doing? Tape. I want to take to Spain. Oh, there you go. Ahead. I said, now that you're Catholic, did the priest ever tell you how can you be sure that when you die, you're going to heaven? They all said no. And look this lady here. See, with her hand up. Can you tell us how? How many times you have that opportunity that somebody will tell you, can you tell me how I can get saved? Well, I spoke with them for about 12 minutes. Bible college students, pay attention. It's good to know all the Bible verses that you need to guide somebody to the Lord. I did not have my Bible there. We were going to see a waterfall. And I quoted them at least 10 verses. You have to know, because otherwise you're talking. It's not God talking through you if you are not using Bible verses. That's very serious. And I quoted them all the verses I needed. The 8 of them raised their hand accepting Christ. And I, always short on faith, I sort of did not believe that could be so good. So I said to them, well, usually when somebody gets saved, I give them a Bible and with my dedication. Now, you give something for free, especially Bible, if they never saw. So I said, this man here, you ask him how to get to his house, and you will get your Bible. Those who raise their hand. 7 o'clock Sunday morning, 7 o'clock, they were there knocking on the door. They want the Bible. So our plan was there to see Paul Anger and to see the waterfall, but God has other plans. Never be afraid to interrupt people and ask questions. Well, they can tell you off, that's all. But if I wouldn't have asked them, we would just pass and say hello and just go. And I witnessed to them, the man behind me, he's taking that to Spain. 12 minutes of how to receive Christ. That's very important. Now, if you go to your Bible, I won't be long now. What time am I supposed to finish? Very soon. Having in mind what this lady did, that she asked me, can you tell us how? You know that in the Bible you will have a lot of places in the Bible, I'll only be looking 3 today, that people did ask this question. And I like this young man especially. If you go to Mark chapter 10, I don't know if everybody in this congregation right now here is saved. But you, if you are not sure when you go, when you die, pay attention to what I'm going to read and what I'm going to say now from the Bible. Chapter 10, Acts, verse 17. And when he was gone, he is Christ, for into the way, there come one running, and kneeled to him, and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? What a question. You know that every one of us has to ask this question, maybe not in the way he did. He was a very courageous man, running in front of all thousands of people walking, and he came in front of Jesus right there and asked. Nobody told him to do that. The question he asked is excellent. Let's see what happened then. So, verse 18. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Why Christ would say that? Wasn't Christ God? You know why? Because this man, this young man, never believed that he was Christ. He called him Master. So he got a response from Christ. Anyway, continue listening to this. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all this have I observed from my youth.
and looks like he was for true like that, because no other evangelist except Mark, verse 21 says, then Jesus behold him and loved him. Looked like he was telling the truth. And he said unto him, Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, take up thy cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possession. Okay. Now, to follow Christ, to have treasures in heaven is not bad, a good thing. But take up thy cross and follow me. In those days, usually you finish as a martyr. Take up thy cross. Jesus knew what he was telling him. And looked like he understood also. But he was a rich man. Now, pay attention. I'm not against rich men. I love rich men, especially when they get saved. They help me a lot in church. But the love of money is the root of all evil. Is that how you say it in English? Yeah, I know in Spanish, not in English. So that's why I never quote in English. So, but this man, Jesus Christ knows our hearts. For example, the devil never tempts me to have a beer. Because I don't like it. Or a smoke. But he knows where I lack. That's where he goes. Now this man, he liked Jesus. He called him good, master. But he was rich. Money was first. But still, let's stick to the question. When he asked, what, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? You know, another man asked, and he actually, the second one, he actually called him Christ. Let's go just a little bit backward. Matthew chapter 27, verse 22. 27, 22. Pay attention to this one. Matthew 27, 22. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Again, a good question. Now, Pilate had three options. Three options. He could have let him go free. Or he could have received him as a savior. But he chose to give him to be crucified. The question wasn't that. Many of some people maybe in here, they're sitting and they never ask this question, or they think sometimes, what shall I do? Well, what decision are you going to make? Those two people fail. Don't go one now that is positive. He didn't fail. And you will know when I tell you where to go, you will know exactly who I'm referring to. Go to Acts chapter 9. Who I'm referring to? Anybody knows? Who is in Acts chapter 9? Who? Saul. Yeah. Saul. Okay, verse 6. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go unto the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Okay, he was good. Now, poor Saul. If I see Pilate, and I see this rich man, Saul was the worst one. He was persecuting Christians. He was making Christians to blaspheme God. He was terrible. And he was going to another country, not Jerusalem. He's now going to Syria, Damascus, to get prisoners, Christians. That was his job. And yet, he got the right decision. Now, this verse is very important, especially, I don't know in Australia, but in South America, we have a lot of apostles and apostolas. Female apostles. Plenty. When they come to preach, they say, and Apostle Peter is coming. Apostle Juan is coming to preach. Apostles. Now, and they refer to this passage like, because to be an apostle, you have to be called by Jesus. You have to hear his voice. And you have to see him like he did with apostles. They were preaching, whatever, he called them. Philip got Peter, got to Jesus, and that's all. Now, they said, well, how about Saul? Didn't Saul hear? Didn't he hear him? And didn't he see him? Why did he become blind? Because he saw Jesus glorified. Jesus wasn't the one. Jesus walking in the earth, he was already glorified. And when he saw him glorified, he came down. He saw Jesus. And he heard the voice, "Saul, Saul, why thou persecuted me?" Jesus spoke to him. So he had the credential of an apostle, but not the fake one that we have in South America. Do you have them in Australia too? Plenty in South America, especially Brazil. Thousands of apostles right now. Yeah. New apostolic church. Plenty. So they get to this passage and they disqualify Saul. But anyway, that's not what I'm preaching now. I'm preaching about what Saul asked Jesus and what Jesus told him to do. I'm wondering if somebody this morning in here, you never asked this question. Not publicly, not secretly, maybe you thought sometimes, and you still don't know what's going to happen with you when you die. Now these people that we saw just now, they were just tourists passing by Peru. Very religious. I presume very good too. You always ask a Catholic, especially ladies, they're very good. They're very good, not men. Women usually better. But they were lost. The priest never told them how they can get saved. And this lady had the guts to say, "Can you tell us how?" She wasn't scared. She raised her hand and said, "Can you tell us how to get saved?" Well, I told them, and some got saved. Some didn't. Six rejected completely. They didn't want, they wasn't even listening. They were just doing like that. But that's okay. But some did. Did you ever ask the Lord, if you are not saved, what you must do? I presume maybe everybody is saved in here, but if you are not saved and you never, never told the Lord, never asked the Lord how to get saved, why don't you do now? Don't let the time go past. You don't know if you will be here tonight. We don't know. We don't know. That's a very urgent issue that you have to settle with the Lord. If anybody in here this morning that you never, never asked the Lord to save you and you would like to be saved today, just raise your hand so we can pray for you. If there is somebody that never, never did that, and it's easy to know if you are safe or not. If you are not sure where you are going, you are not safe. Because according to John chapter 5, verse 24, you can be sure. The priest told me that nobody knows. Catholic priest told me nobody can know. So I asked him, did Jesus Christ ever call a liar here in earth? He said, no. Well, I said, I just spoke to him by memory, John 5, 24. You have eternal life. If anybody wants to accept Christ this morning, you never did that, and you want to do it now. You can do it. In your youth, even if you are an elder, I know elder is always harder. So when you are young, you better do it. It's quicker. It's better. The older you get, the harder it is. I have that experience in South America. The hardest people to let to the Lord are the old ones. See anybody who wants to receive Christ this morning, ask for forgiveness of sin, repent, and be saved. If you did not have the guts to raise your hands, you can always talk to somebody, talk to a brother here or myself, and you can do that. God bless you.